As always, the Torah should be the English Master Gresham and Rabbi Dave. This week being Parshas Pikudei and Parshas Chazak, we come to the culmination of Sefer Shmos and the wrap-up of the Meleches HaMishkan. Right at the end of the Parsha, we're told, there was a cloud that covered over the oil maid, v'chvoid Hashem maleis HaMishkan. And the kavod of the Rabbeinu Shleim, the Shechina, filled the Mishkan, resulting from which, v'lo yochol Moshe lavoi el oyel moed. Moshe Rabbeinu was unable to go into the oyel moed. Why? Ki shochan olav ha'onon. Because the cloud of the Shechina had resided there. V'chvoid Hashem maleis HaMishkan. And the presence of the Shechina filled the Mishkan. Uveh aloi se'onon me'al HaMishkan. That's when Klal Yisrael would travel. And so to speak, Moshe Rabbeinu would go inside. And there's a medrash, the medrash Hagadol, that says, "Amar Reb Chama bar Chanina, v'chi sale adatcho shemoshe misyore min ha'anon." Is there a havamina that v'lo yochol Moshe lo be'el oyel moed? Why? Ki shochan olav ha'anon. So you think Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid? He was unable to go in. Why? Because he was afraid of the anon. V'haloi ne'ma, does he not say in Parashat Mishpatim, where the Torah re-relates what took place at Mamad Har Sinai and gives us the extra bits of information? The Torah tells us, "Vayavoy Moshe b'soicha anon." That means what Rashi explains, the Mefarshim that tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu entered into the anon which represented the Shechina, and it split for him, and there was a path for Moshe Rabbeinu to walk through. So what does it mean over here? V'lo yochel. The Moshe was unable to go in to the Olam HaBa because there was a cloud there. The cloud of the Shechina never impeded him from entering into or going closer to the Shechina before. Why now did it? Says Rav Shimon Shvab that what we have to explain over here is that V'lo Yochel is teaching us that Moshe Rabbeinu accorded such a huge amount of respect and cover to the Shechina that he wouldn't enter until HaKadosh Baruch Hu called him. Until he had that which the next Sefer begins with, Vayikra El Moshe. Until he had that calling from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wouldn't walk in. And he quotes, he says, there's a medrash that says, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Bakabbalah Shaninu, we have a Messiah, we have a tradition, that the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph Perek Beis, Pasuk Lamed says, Ki mechabdai achabed, those who honor me, I will honor them. Zeh Moshe, Shechidei Kovid Lishchino, V'lo yehegis da'atoy mitchilo v'adzoif. Moshe Rabbeinu, who had no problem entering, conversing with Shechina, could ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu whenever he wanted, whatever he wanted, yet he waited to be called. And because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu accorded Moshe Rabbeinu a special type of kavod. But, asks Shimon Shvab, okay, so we understand now that the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go in, the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go into the Oyel Moed until he was called was because he was being mechabed the Shechina and waiting to be called. But if that's the case, what does the pasuk mean v'lo yochel? He wasn't able. Of course he was able. You can only say that he was giving cover to the Shechina if we say he was able and he didn't go. Why? Because he was waiting for the Shechina to call him. But if he was able to go in, then how can the Torah say v'lo yochel? He was unable. And if he was unable, then it's got nothing to do with cover. It's because he was unable to go. Elomai, from the fact that Chazal say that he gave cover to the Shechina, it must be that he was able to go in, but he refrained from doing so until being called. If that's the case, what does the pasuk mean? V'lo yochel Moshe. He was unable. Says Rav Shimon Shvab an amazing thing. He says, Avodas Hamidas, that we all endeavor to work on, and that's really what we're in this world for, has a way that the more a person works on a particular middah, the more it becomes their nature. He says, as the Ramban in his famous Igeres HaRamban to his son, he wrote, Tisnahig tamid daber kol dvarecho benachas lechol adam b'chol eis. And then he says, Ukisheti notzel min hakas tale alibcho midas ha'anova. As you get saved from kas, then tale alibcho midas ha'anova. And he tells him how to be misnaiv midas ha'anova, and then it becomes almost like second nature. Because as a person practices the hanhogos of anova, the hergel becomes teva. getting used to something, it works to that, the person, it becomes part of them. And a person is zocher, that becomes who he is. So Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, the Torah says about Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu was onov mikol adam. Moshe Rabbeinu had the midah of anibus that was so integrity part of who he was. About him, the Torah says, lo yochel Moshe. Because of his anibus and his appreciation of the Shina being there, of course physically he could. But it became part of his nature that he physically couldn't because of his midah swanov. The lo yochel Moshe is pshutei kamashmai. Because of his anibus, he couldn't go. In the same way that a person who stands in front of a godel hador has a yira from being unable to articulate with clarity sometimes what one wants to say because, I mean, the presence of the Shina, Moshe Rabbeinu in the presence of the Shina wouldn't walk in because the Shina was there. That his anibus and his realization of the distance that he had from HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that v'lo yochel, lo hegis da'atoy mitchil ha'batsoy. So he says beautifully with this, he explains the bracha that we give a child at the bris. We say, Kishem shenichnas tabris, keni karis the Torah, l'chupa l'masim tovim. Gemara in the Makaris, he says, is the Gemara in Shabbos, taf kufla, menzayin on a base. And we say, just like a child was entered into his bris milah, and there's no doubt in our minds that no one gets entered into a bris milah for any ulterior motive whatsoever. It's kol kulo lishma. As the Gemara says, there's no one puts their child through that type of pain at that stage in their lives. Unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded them to do so. So there's no ulterior motive. It's kulei lishma. So too we bench the child. Keni kanes, so too you should enter the Torah with no ulterior motive. Kulei lishma. Keni kanes l'chupa with no ulterior motive. Kulei lishma. Ulemasim tovim. With no ulterior motive. It should always be lishma. He says, but one could ask, why don't we say keni kanes l'Torah ule mitzvus ule chupa l'masim tovim? L'masim tovim, but pashtus means ben adam l'chaveru. We don't talk about ben adam l'amakot. Why not? So he says, what actually happens to a child when the child has his bris milah? His nature changes. He goes from being an oral to being a someone who his nature has changed. He's entered kishem shenichnas abris, and his whole mahus has changed l'shabach. He's become part of Am Yisrael. He's become nichnas libris. His taiba has been nechlash. So he's nichnas into something that has changed him. So too, we're giving him a bracha that he should become someone who Torah will change him. As we know, that Torah changes a person. When a person learns Torah, in two ways, Torah becomes his. Kim b'soira soy yege yom ha'valeira. Through busying oneself with Torah, Torah becomes mine, and it changes a person. The teva of a Talmud Chacham, the Gemara says in Masechet Tanis, Daf Dalet, is different to the teva of other people. Because Torah is bubbling inside him. So we bench this child like your mahus has changed. Like you have entirely changed as a person through going through bris milah. You should, Torah should affect you, that it should change you into being someone different. Ulechupa, and when one enters into a chupa, that also, it changes the mahus. Till then, Chazal tell us a person is plag gufa, and by entering into a chupa, a person becomes more shalim. So we're saying, Ken Yikonis, and to chuppah, chuppah should change the person into becoming more of an Adam Shalim. And so too, Ulemasim Tovim, he should enter he should be able to perform Masim Tovim to the extent that his Masim Chesed and his Masim Tovim Ben Adam Lachaveroi changes him into being a more sensitive and more sensitive, appreciating person so that he becomes a more complete person. However, mitzvahs, we know that if he becomes the hergel na'aseh teva, that's not exactly what the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants, because then it becomes mitzvah sanoshim l'ulamada. If it becomes something that I just through hergel, it becomes teva, it becomes nature. So it's my nature to put on tefillin in the morning, it's my nature to put on tzitzis, it's my nature to make a brocha before I eat, and it's my nature to bench, then the feeling is lost from it. And therefore he says, that's why we don't bench the child, that same brocha that we give for Torah, chuppah, ma'asim tovim, that by doing it more and more and more, it should become nature. There's certain things that we don't want it to become nature. We want him to have vibrance in what he's doing the whole time. We're saying, you entered into bris, that changes your nature. You now, by nature, are a person whose taiva has been nechlash. By nature, you're a person who's part of Am Yisrael. The Torah, by the more Torah you learn, by nature you are a changed person. You're a person who Torah has affected. You're more sensitive to Inyanei Kedusha. You're more sensitive to what Torah brings to a person by nature. L'chuppah, by entering into chuppah, you become more sensitive to being a person who is in a marriage. L'masim tovim, by performing more and more masim tovim, you become more sensitive to being a person who is misnayeg with masim tovim. But we leave, we don't want it to become, and manit sanashim with the mother with regards to mitzvahs. And then because there we want that, b'chol yoyim yiyu beinecha kachadoshim, and therefore we don't give him that bracha. Which Rabbeinu became this person in Yiras Hashem, we do want that to be nature. In certain elements of Yiras Hashem, in our novel, we do want that to be nature. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu over here. V'lo yochel meant not that because he wasn't physically able, it was because he was unable to go in from the realization of what he had imbibed within himself and affected himself to appreciate that he was different because he had become more of an honor over time and more of an honor over time that he couldn't enter into the Oyel Moed because of his anivus and not from anything else. As we said, the end of this parsha is really a summary of Meleches HaMishkan. Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, these are the countings of the Mishkan, Mishkan Oedus, the Mishkan of testimony, and as Chazal tell us, is testified to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu been moichel us for having performed the Egel. That's why there's a long, beautiful kleyoka, the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to Klal Yisrael, when he said, Mo'enat ha'yisolon v'doi v'doi, which is a capital of tshuva. That was the bracha together with the Pihinoyam that he gave to Klal Yisrael after being able to construct the Mishkan. And it was an edus to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had forgiven us for the Maaseh Ha'egel. There is another pshat in Chazal that it's called the Mishkan Ha'edus al shem the edus that was contained within the Orin, the Torah that was contained within the Orin, which means, explains from Moshe Shmuel Shapiro Zechatzal Livracha, that the whole purpose of the construction of the Mishkan, which was almost like a construction that was reminiscent of a reconstruction of the world for Klal Yisrael after having done the Chet Ha'egel, is all for one purpose, to have a Mishkan that contains in it the Eidus. With all the glory and with all the splendor and with all the fanfare that went with it, the purpose was to have a Mishkan or Eidus. To have a Mishkan that contained within it Eidus. And that was the Kavanah the whole time. There was a huge amount of Chochmah that was involved in the construction of the Mishkan. A huge amount of Seudas HaTorah and Seudas HaBriah that were involved in the construction of the Mishkan. There was no expense spared to construct the Mishkan. In the beauty and the glory and the fascination of what exactly as it was built. And that you would eventually have Kohanim Bavoi Dosa, Mulavim, Bashiram, Vizimram, and you'd have the Big Day Kahuna, which would be the Shem, the Pe'er, the Tiferes, the Kohanim wearing them and doing the Avodah, the Kohen Gadol who was a Chochom and a Gadol Me'echov and taller than everyone else. You had all of that together. But it had one purpose. It was meant to be a Mishkan Ha'edus. A Mishkan that contained in it an Oroid, in its most holiest part, a Kodesh HaKadoshim contained in it an Oroid, upon which were the Kruvim, Upneim Ishel Ochiv, and they were guarding the Edus. That's what it was called, the Mishkan Ha'edus. And that's where the Shinah spoke from. When the Shinah was heard to be speaking, it emanated Mibein Shnei HaKruvim, from the place where the Edus was, from the place where the And that's the one place that the Kohen Gadol went on the Yom HaKadosh Lifnayim Lifnim. Where does he go to get a kapara for Klal Yisrael? To beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to entreat Hashem for us by the Mishkan Ha'edus, which is closeted and hidden away in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. For what purpose? To teach Klal Yisrael that Torah, Shebiksav, and Torah Shebaal Peh, which was the V'dibarti Itcha, which was articulated from inside that Kodesh HaKadoshim, that is the most important thing. And from there emanates all bracha, from Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebaal Peh. That the whole Pe'er, the whole Tiferes of the entire Mishkan, its construction, its Kiyum, was all that the Shinah should emanate from a Mokim Tzina, from a private place where Torah was being learned. Because that's the most important thing in the world. And Hashras HaShchina will only happen if it's from a place of Torah being learnt. if it's from a private place of Torah. Ramesh Shmuel says that the reason for this was, the reason for the Torah describing the Mishkan as a Mishkan or Eidus, and the fact that the Eidus was hidden inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim in a place that was Behatzne'a, was to tell us that the only way a person can actually become someone who is a living Torah person, and that Torah can actually affect a person, is when Torah is something that's hidden, and that is appreciated, it's not hidden, it's learnt Behatzne'a Lechus. It's learnt in a way where it's not about, this is the amount that I've learnt. It's not about the extent. It's about the fact that the Torah is the main thing in our lives, and that's where everything goes to. And I spend my time closeted away learning Torah. He says, you can have all the gold and all the silver and all the fascination and all the yakar and all the tiferes, but if that's what it's based on, that's not going to bring Shekhinah. The Shekhinah didn't come from the Shulchan, didn't come from the Menorah, it didn't come from the rest of the Mishkan. That was all there, and you have to have that for the Kabbad of the Mishkan. But in the end of the day, you can't have a Sfarim shrunk that's got all beautiful Sfarim in it, lining wall to wall, if it's never used. They have to, in a quiet way, be opened up and learnt. That's the V'dibarti Yitzchah. He says in the Reb Chaim Volozhiner, in the times of Reb Chaim Volozhiner, there was a family who lived in Volozhin, the Soloveitchik family. The father of whom, Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, was an extremely, extremely wealthy Baal Tzedakah. A Kabbalan that worked for the government, extremely wealthy, gave a huge amount of money to Tzedakah. And suddenly lost his wealth. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner convened the Beis Din to try and figure out why this had happened to him. That's the way it was in those days. And first people wanted to say, maybe because he gave more than a chomesh. A person's not going to give more than a chomesh of one's wealth. And the Reb Chaim said, no. For that, and the way he gave it, and who he gave it to, and for the purpose he gave it, an onus like that can't happen. But what did this Reb Moshe do? He went into Beis Medrash and sat down and began learning. Tremendous Baal Kishrum. And became a phenomenal Talmid Chacham. And the Brisker dynasty emanated from him. And he said afterwards that it was because the Rebbeinu Shlomo wanted to give him the gift of pure Torah and Mesirus HaTorah to be Manhigei HaTorah of generations that doesn't come with materialistic wealth. It can't. The two don't go together. It's Mishkan HaEidus. It's about the Torah, which is closeted away. That's away from all the wealth. It's in that private place that doesn't have connection with glory and wealth and Gedula. It's got to do with materialistic gedula, it's got to do with pure Torah, Mishkan Eidus, Ba'atznei Aleches. And therefore, he said it actually was the biggest gift that the Rebbeinu Shlomo gave him. He said, "I want you to become the father of a dynasty of Torah leadership in Klal Yisrael that can only happen through pure Torah, through Mishkan Eidus, through Torah that's closeted away, Mibein Shnei Akruvim, without in a private place, meaning not in the place where there's the glory and the wealth that can be seen." And he said, that's really what the Pasuk tells us. Mishkan HaEidus. Yeah, we're going to count out. We're going to saw Klal Yisrael's benevolence and the way they gave was amazing. But in the end of the day, it's not about the materialistic wealth. In fact, it's all about not that. To become a manig in Torah, it's about pure Torah, for the sake of Torah and unadulterated Torah. Ba'atzenei Aleches.
This place, the inner on the Oren, was completely surrounded with gold.
Yes, yeah, but it was closeted inside.
Which was also gold.
And hidden away, yeah, it was contained and it was, but that wasn't that's what he's telling us, that's not the main. You're right, and the Oren could have been called an Oren Azor because it was predominantly gold that we spoke about a few weeks ago. Yet it's still called the Oren Atzei Shittim because the main thing is not the gold. That has to be there because it's got to be in a place of giving kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a Beis HaKnesses. We have to show, we've got to be makriv and show that we feel it's important. But we've got to know what's the purpose of it. To give kavod to the purity of Torah. There's an amazing, I've mentioned this before, but this has to be really mentioned again, right in the center of the parasha, just before Revi, Paraglama Tes Pasuk Lev, Pasuk Lama Beis, really in the heart of the parasha. Vatichel kol avodas hamishkan, all the work for the mishkan ended. Kol avodas mishkan oil moed. Vayasu bnei Yisrael. Kachol hashetiv Hashem esmoishe. Kein osu. They, Klal Yisrael, did this all together. Klal Yisrael did this. Asked the Rechaim HaKadosh, it wasn't Klal Yisrael. It was Betzalel, Aliyov, and the Chachmei Lev. It wasn't all of Klal Yisrael. So the first pshat he says is that Shluchei Sheladim Kamoisei. Shluchei Sheladim Kamoisei. But then he says, Kach Kan Osa Torah Machberes Klolus L'Kiyum HaTorah Kulo. The Torah is telling us a fundamental yesod for the Kiyum of the entire Torah. It's impossible for any one person to be mekayim all 613 mitzvahs. Some are for men, some are for women, some are only in certain circumstances, some are only in certain places and at certain times. Yet we all need 613 mitzvahs, keneged haramach, evorim, and shesagidim. So how do we have a shaychus to it? By ya'asu b'nei Yisrael. Everyone does their bit on behalf of Klal Yisrael and assists everyone else to help them. It's the only way it works. Someone sent me this afternoon a little clip of the background, the story of how the Baal Shem Tov was gifted to the world. His parents were tremendous machnisei oreach, tremendous Baal. They invited anyone and anyone to come to their Suda Shabbos. They come not just for Suda Shabbos, they stay for Shabbos. And on Sunday when they'd send them off, they wouldn't just send them off, they'd send them off with money for the week. And that's what they had. And they were childless for years. And then one week, in the middle of the Friday night Suda, there's a knock at the door. And there's a gentleman there with his bags and with his wares, a yid. And he says, oh, I'm just journeying from this city and I've arrived in your town. Very clearly not observant, traveling in the middle of Shabbos, but I'd like to spend the Shabbos meal with you. And they took him in. And they sat him down and they offered him a place at the table, treated him like one of their regular guests. And amongst the multitude of people that were at the table, there started to be murmurs and, it's not his Chal Shabbos, how can you sit here? They'd probably be careful, don't put the wine in front of him, don't do this, don't do that, etc., etc. But how can they be machnis him? How can he come in? Huh? And they took these guests aside and they said to listen here, this is our house, this is our guest, this is the way we do it. Ayid is Ayid. And that's, I'm sure there were people there, someone who doesn't keep Shabbos, so you've got to be worried about, you can't trust them, they can't trust the wine, it's mamish like a guy. I said, listen, Ayid is Shinashama, Ayid is Shinashama, in our house, that's the way we do it. And he stayed over Matzah Shabbos, and he was leaving on Sunday, they walked him out. And he turned around and he said to him, you know, I'm actually not a human being, I'm Eliyahu HaNavi. And I was sent here to see that your Hachnasas Orechim, is it for what you want or for what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants? And you pass the test. And not only are you Zoicha, you're going to be Zoicha to a child, you'll be Zoicha to a child who will light up the world. And there was Zoicha to the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov had Talmidim, the Talmid, the Magid had Talmid, the Rebbe Reb Zisha. Famously, the Rebbe Reb Zisha, one Friday night, he was put himself into Golus, and he would travel around. And he was in a Beis Medrash one Friday night, came the end of davening. The way it worked in those days was, the Gabba would see who the guests who had arrived in town, and he would designate guests to particular Balabatim who were able to have guests for the Friday night. So as he made sure that each person had where to go, and there was still one yid, a stranger, not a town, not someone from their town, but davening. The Gabba waits. Eventually, Reb Zisha finishes davening. And the Gabba says to him, yeah, I'm sorry, but no place is left. Everyone's gone home. They're probably well into their Suda. He says, yeah, we have Chdaf Machan Kiddush. I have to have Suda Shabbos. I shall come with you. He says, no, I don't go to my place. So says, I'll come with you. Where are you going to? He says, look, you can come with me to the parnas of the Kehillah. But you're going to have to say a really good Dvar Torah. He only allows Talmidei Chachamim at his table. And he only allows people of stature. And you're going to have to say a good vort. So he says, Ken Garnished. He says, no, don't mess me around. I saw exactly how you daven. You're obviously someone who knows what they're talking about. You're going to have to say a Dvar Torah. He says, Ken Garnished. What's that? I don't even know what you mean. What does Dvar Torah mean? He says, I just mumble words. I talk to Hashem. I said, no, this is the only choice. You better not embarrass me. And you come with me there. That's where you're going to go. Just sit, still a hate. We'll walk in. We'll slip in. You'll find yourself a seat. And just... So they come in. They come into the Suda. And they slip in. he gives him a place, and he sends him a kais, some wine to make kiddush. And Rav Zisha gets up, and he makes a kiddush, as if he's daf tzayin, a kiddush under the Rebbe Rav Zisha, with all the kavanas. And the Balabai says, I think, wow, phew, look at they brought me, look at the kavas brought me. Oh, this is what I've been waiting for. That I talmud chacham like this, a tzaddik, listen to his kiddush. So he's sitting there getting himself very proud of the guest who he's got. And they give him challah, give him some fish. And then, he says to him, no, Rebbe, Avshavot, that's in Parsha. What is our Parsha? Give it around him, saying, this is the panas of the killer, don't stop messing him around. He says, well, I don't know, what does he want from me? He wants you to say a Dvar Torah. What's his Dvar Torah? Say something on the parasha. What's the parasha? The shaman comes over to him and says to him, you know, you're going to have to get out of here. You're embarrassing me. You can't do this. So the Balabai says to him, you don't have anything to say? Here, you come here, you got to say. She says, okay, I've got something to say. So I have a stira. Was Hillel a tzaddik or Hillel a rasha? He says, you know, in Tehillim, in Kapitel Yud, it says Ki Hillel Rasha. Totally out of context, obviously. There it says Ki Hillel Rasha praises himself about the bad that he does. It says, I mistake, Ki Hillel Rasha, Hillel's a Rasha. It says, Mitzad Sheni, on Seder night, we say Zeichel HaMikdash Ki Hillel. We do a whole thing because of Hillel. Vayest HaGayis, Hillel was a grace of mensch if we're doing things like he did. So was Hillel a tzaddik or Hillel a rosh? And the Olam packs out laughing. Is that comedy? Oh, it was Hillel a tzaddik or a rosh? Ki Hillel rosh? Hillel lived long after David HaMelech. David HaMelech telling us that Hillel's a rosh. And then in the Haggadah, because we do a Zeichel HaMikdash, he must be a tzaddik. You know, the Balabai is just rubbing his hands, thinking, you know, okay, I didn't get my Dvar Torah, but Azuzah tip to come and say what he's saying. No, actually, the Olam starts saying, a terah. Yeah, I've got a terah, says Rav Zisha. I've got a terah. Says, yeah, I'll tell you. Hillel in Tehillim is the guy, you know why he's a Rasha? Because he only allows certain people to come to his table. He only allows people who are going to massage his ego, who are going to make him feel choshev. So he's Taka, he's a Rasha. On a Seder night, Hillel says, Kol dichvin yesev yeichel, whoever wants to come in is welcome. So on Seder night, Hillel's a tzaddik. The Balabai has finished that meal really quick. Rav Zisha went back to the base medrash, and the Balabais came in. And when he chapped, because his own name was Hillel, and he came and he said, "The Rebbe Rav Zisha, you know, help me to be masakam what I've done wrong in the past." Klal Yisrael needs each other. It's machnis shows who, where, what. In the end of the day, Ayidush and Neshama is Ayidush and Neshama, and every single one of us needs each other. When we say that we've ended up by constructing the Mishkan, which is a place for Ashras Hashchina, how is there going to be Ashras Hashchina? In one way. When the construction of the Mishkan is done for all of us, and we all take part, and everyone's donation is choshev, and everyone's is important. So you told me the other week about the Kiyo. Amazing, amazing vod. About the, all Kalim have dimensions. Clearly prescribed dimensions, except for the Kiyo. Kiyo has no dimensions. Why? What was the Kiyo made from? The Maris Hatzova. It's made from the mirrors of the women. If we would have been given dimensions, some mirrors wouldn't have been included. Now, who's going to say whose mirrors should be included and whose shouldn't? There's no such thing. The Kiyo is made from all the mirrors, because everyone is Choshev. They were there for a purpose, they were needed, it's personal donations of that type, then everyone's is important, it's given in that way. The Mishkan, a place of Shechina, has to have been ascribed to Vayasu, Kain Osu. It's all of Klal Yisrael, and we're all involved. That way we get Hashras Hashchina. I'm not going to be here next week, so the week after already is Purim. So just as a little bit of an insight into the story of Purim, it's Shchodesh tonight, Aleph Adar Sheni, to share with you a fascinating little bit of an insight. There's a pasuk in the Megillah. Where Charvoina is there as Achashverosh returns from the Chatzar Gina Bisan HaMelech, having seen the Malochim in the image of 10 sons of Haman uprooting his garden, uprooting his orchards. And he comes back in and Vehina, and Haman is Noifel al Amita, She'esther Alov. And he says, Hagames Hamalko Lichveshimi Babais, pipes up Chavoyne, and he says, Gam, Hine Ha'it Asha Osa Haman, you know, you know. Also, that tree that Haman has made, which is in his house, Omi Bebeis Haman, Vech Hamishim Amal, Gamin Ha'it Asha Osa Haman, that he wanted to hang Mordechai Asher Dibur Toiv Al HaMelech Omei Bebeis Haman Chamishim Amah. It's a very interesting way that the Lashon and the Pasuk is not exactly as we would have said it. Nechida and the Chassam Sofer point this out. The Vilna Gaon and the Chassam Sofer point this out. Gamin Ha'et Asher Asa Haman, it should be, is standing in Haman's house, it should have said, to hang Mordechai who spoke good about the Melech. It doesn't. It says, Gamin Ha'et Asher Asa Haman, for Mordechai who spoke good about the Melech, he's standing in the house of Haman, which is 50 Amos high. But more than that, Achashverosh became enraged when he heard this. Even what made him so much more enraged? So the Vilna Gaon says, because Achashverosh actually understood different to what Chavrinah was saying. Chavrinah was just telling him, by the way, you should know, he's also got a gallows up in his house to hang Mordechai, who spoke good about you. But Achashverosh understood, you should know, Haman's got a gallows in his house that he wanted for Mordechai, but now he said it's good for you. And Achashverosh became enraged. There's another Vilna Gaon, how did Achashverosh hear that? He says, you know why? Because we are so subjective to the way that we look at the world. We look at the world and then we tight shop what's going on around us subjectively. A person has a world view, a person has a feeling about a certain thing, a person has a chip on their shoulder about a certain thing, or a person has an outlook on it. That fashions and decides for us certain things that we hear, and we hear it with in that vein. Achashverosh was convinced that Haman wanted to kill him. Okay, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Esther HaMalka had really worked that through. Esther's whole plan of inviting only Haman and him to a double mishter, and he started to think, you know, what's going on, why only Haman, and what's he doing, and there must be some sort of mutiny that they're planning, or a revolt, and is it not? And Malach Gavriel comes and tells him, yeah, Haman wants to kill you, and that night he can't fall asleep, him, someone's in the chotzer, who is it, and it happens to be Haman, he must be coming to try and assassinate me in the middle of the night, and then the next day Haman goes, who should I do, the Akaru Gadula, and Haman falls in the trap, and he says, me, and I should have the crown on my head. Definitely wants to become the king, and the next day, so he's convinced Haman wants to become the king. So when he hears that there's also a gallows in Haman's house to hang Mordechai, who spoke good about the king, he doesn't hear who spoke, he hears good about the king, that the gallows is good for the king. Because that's where his mind was. And that's why it's so important for us to be like Klal Yisrael were in this week's parasha. We were convinced that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was meichel us. And by the Meraglim, that's where we fell. Because we thought Besinas Hashem Meisonu. We thought HaKadosh Baruch Hu hated us, and because of that we touched everything up in a way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like us. And we viewed everything that happened. The people who are in Eretz Yisrael are going to kill us, the people who are in Eretz Yisrael. It's not that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, he wants to forgive us. The whole purpose, one of the things Chazal say, that one of the kavanos of the ego was to show that even if the holy Klal Yisrael are culpable for something, they still can do tshuva. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, and that never stops. And that's why we went through the Purim story, having Klal Yisrael being culpable for what they did, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us. He took us out. He saved us. Be'ez Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us that insight in this month of Adar, where it's Edor Imochem, I'm going to come and I'm going to dwell with you. It's a Lashon of Adar. Is also Adir B'Koyach, that we should have the strength in our Emunah to realize and appreciate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does love us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to reside with us. And the Be'ez Hashem, this year, it should be a Taka month that leads into Nisan, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu should reside with us, we should be able to have a Beis HaMikdash, within which we should be able to be Makriv, our Korban Pesach, together with the entire Klal Yisrael. Amen.